Praise ye the Lord. The Lord is good. I'm going to let's just go into some few testimonies, and then I'm going to give one testimony that's going to lead me into this exhortation. Praise ye the Lord. The topic that is laid upon my heart today has to do with putting your faith in the Lord and not in man. And the reason why I was just thinking of what will the Lord want me to share with the congregation over the week. I have so many sermons that came to my heart. Then the Lord bring this message back to my mind. So I'm going to ask you to open to John, Gospel of John chapter 11. The Gospel of John chapter 11. Gospel of John chapter 11. This is the story of when Lazarus died. And the Lord Jesus Christ delayed purposely until Lazarus was in the grave for 4 days. But I was reading this story some time ago, and I got to this verse 21 and 22. Martha, the sister of Lazarus, she was the first one that heard about the Lord Jesus Christ is already coming, so she went to meet the Lord Jesus. In verse 21, let me read from verse 20. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. See, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But verse 22 is where I'm really going. Said, but I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. I know that even now, whatsoever you will ask from God, God will give it thee. I got to that verse and my eyes opened. I said, what? Isn't that like all of us? Whatever I think about it, I want you to think about this. This man, Lazarus, has been sick for days, and they have prayed. You know they should be praying also. They have prayed and prayed and prayed, and got worse. Now they remember the Messiah, so they sent for him. Your friend Lazarus is sick. So they wanted Jesus Christ to come or pray from over there. And the Lord Jesus purposely waited. And you and I are like that. We prayed and prayed and prayed, and nothing happened. And then the worst happened. They buried Lazarus. And now came Jesus Christ walking in. So Martha, she was the stronger of the two women. She went to meet him. If you had been here, our brother would not have died. But the next verse is what struck my attention. He said, but I know that even now, if you will ask anything from God, he will give it to you. And I said, wait a minute here. Why couldn't she ask God? Why didn't she ask God? And that's where you and I have been. We have been over here. And many people believe in the prophet. That's why people run to the prophet, not so. Which means, after we have all prayed and nothing is happening, we say, well, I know, if you pray, God answers you. That's what she was saying. I know that if you pray, even now that this boy is dead, if you pray, God will answer you. But what about us? Which means God don't answer us. That's why we have been praying for days and this boy died still, not so. So, and I thought, wait a minute, what is that? That is the situation of all of us over the centuries. And that is why you see people rush to a doctor, or not a doctor, a prophet. They say this miracle happening there, everybody rush there. Why? They believe that that prophet has a direct link with God, and we don't. I mean, you, that's why you have been praying. That's why Martha prayed and prayed and prayed, and it looked like God didn't answer. But he said, I know if you pray, God will answer you. I said, Lord. And I stretched my head. I said, Lord, is that not what you have been trying to get us to? How come God will answer him and God has not answered us? Including Martha. And the Lord started bringing me to that understanding that many times we are putting our faith in man, putting our faith in buildings. Take, for example, if people have taken this sick person to this minister and he prayed and nothing happened, they heard about another major minister there, they prayed, miracles could happen, they went there and nothing happened. And they heard about another ministry over there, they took that fellow there and nothing happened. Maybe finally another prayer place and they prayed, and that 3 days later something happened, the fellow is healed. What do you think will happen to the mind of people? That last place must be anointed. So people now rush to that last place, they rush to that man, they rush to that building. We have all done it. We have all done it. And after they have been rushing to man, God withdraws himself. Because we never learned that God wanted to glorify himself. We are looking at personalities. We are putting our faith in personalities and in people and in buildings. So that is the exhortation that the Lord is wanting us to grow. No wonder many times in the body of Christ, miracles never really happen much, but sinners will come in and they get miracles. Because we have not been taught. The body of Christ, instead of being built up so that we are getting our direct resource from the Almighty God, directly from him. He wants us to be grown up to be able to talk to him directly so that you can access him, I can access him. But if our mind is on our face, our focus is only on personalities, on people, on buildings. And then if I break over there, everybody rush over there. That's what Martha is saying. We have tried our best, this man died. But I know if you will pray, God will answer you. What about you? He has not answered me. That's why the boy died. We lost our focus from the Lord and put it on man, upon people. And you can search the scriptures and see the stories why the Lord Jesus many times withdraw himself. Because he wanted us to know that we need to link back to him, to the Heavenly Father. John chapter 14. Give me the Gospel of John chapter 14. So that is the gist of what I'm going to just exhort us on. Let's put our faith in the Lord. Otherwise, we will not be getting what we want to get. In Gospel of John chapter 14, verse 12, the Lord Jesus Christ talking to us here. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth in me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Now, this exhortation, I'm praying that I will be able to put these Bible verses in sequence, the way it is. Let me first talk about the story about Peter. Remember, the same thing happened in the days of Apostle Peter. When this church started, the Bible said in Acts of the Apostles chapter 5, about verse 14, the shadow of Peter was healing the people that rushed in. The shadow of Peter was healing people. But I want you to think about how long do you think that happened? How long do you think that lasted? Acts of the Apostles chapter 5, verse 14. How long do you think the story of the shadow of Peter healing the people, how long did it last? You see, it was until Peter died, or it was just a few years. Because when the news broke that Apostle Peter's shadow, people were flocking to Jerusalem, lining the sick on the street, hoping that when Peter passed by, shadow of Peter will fall upon the sick. And he don't allow it to happen for a while. But when did it stop? Because men never learn that he's not calling attention to Peter. But people will be looking for Peter. God is not calling attention to Peter, but human beings will be looking for Peter. After a while, you have to withdraw it. God, we have to withdraw it. And we are falling prey for the same thing, the human race, up till now, many believers. There's a great praise going on, everybody now rush there. Come over here, you will get a miracle. So the Lord cannot hear you over there, he must hear you over here. The Lord is calling attention of us to himself. Amen. And if you are not looking unto Jesus, very soon, even with that place where you are going, you think this is where God is, God withdraws himself. Why? Because they are not pointing to him, they are pointing to that man that he is using. And that's why he withdraws. It has happened over and over and over and over again. And the Lord has been dealing with me on that particular thing that, see, no wonder we don't see things happen. Let me give you two testimonies. That's why I say I'm going to give testimonies. This is a testimony I have related before. And in fact, on Friday, one prayer meeting Friday, I came last Friday, I gave one similar testimony. Let me first give you the testimony of my own personal story. Many years ago, it was when I was still living on Shea Boulevard, and my kids were little, and my second daughter Anna was like 3 years old, and there was a coughing that just came. Maybe it could be some of these allergies, who knows what happened. And she was coughing and coughing and coughing. It was about Saturday morning, and normally if anybody is coughing or sick in my household, I would go there and lay my hand upon the baby, pray, cast the devil out, send the devil involved, command peace in the lungs, and because that's what I used to, that's my power. But on this particular day, the cough just refused to stop. After I prayed and prayed and prayed, and I would be in the sitting room, she would still be coughing, almost like coughing your lungs out. From the room I could hear, and I would be rebuking that devil in my heart, rebuking that spirit in my spirit. And then one, by 10 to 2 p.m., and this thing continued. So a thought came to me, I better go to Evangelist Neil Frisbee, who was the pastor of the church we went to. Everybody knows Neil Frisbee, a minister of gospel. He lives not too far away, and our house was not too far from his church. So, okay, so I just got my car, drove to his house. It was Saturday afternoon, so you know there was no church, but his parsonage was next to the church. I rang the bell, I actually wrote a note. I rang the bell, and one of his kids opened the door and said, please, can you pass this note to Evangelist Neil Frisbee? Pray for my daughter, she's having a problem with this cough. And I left. So that happened that Saturday. See, the cough left. About a month, 3 weeks or 4 weeks later, this thing was repeated. The same girl. Coughing Saturday afternoon. And I did the same thing, prayed over her, tried to cast the devil out, did everything, and this cough continued. 2 p.m., she was still coughing. A little girl that was coughing so hard. And in my spirit, I was saying, I rebuke that devil in the name of Jesus. Seems to me the devil will not budge. And the thought came to me, well, I go to Neil Frisbee again. Okay, so I was about to take my key to get into my car. The Lord spoke in this city. Why do you keep going to Neil Frisbee? I am right here. The Lord spoke to me. And I said, oh, Lord, yes, I've prayed. Okay, I'm not going to Frisbee anymore. Do it, Lord. Because the Lord was trying to teach me a lesson. That's why he wanted to teach me a lesson. That's why he allowed it to repeat again. And that's why he spoke when I was in my living room there. And immediately I said, okay, I'm not going to Neil Frisbee. I said, true. I said, Lord, I've already prayed. Whatever is that devil, rebuke it. Somehow this little girl just came out of our room and said, Daddy, the cough is gone. Which means the Lord actually spoke to her, go and tell her that now it's gone. And I gave that testimony over and over again. Okay. Well, what was the Lord teaching me? We always, Martha said, we have prayed and prayed. It looks like God is not hearing us. If you will pray, even now that he has been dead before this, God will hear you. I said, hear him? What about us? God is telling you, maybe he tried to make me to, not a story I just told you, he wanted me to know that it's not in a frisbee. But get hold of him. Stop looking at man. Stop putting your focus on the man, on the building. Because some people say, well, that building is so anointed, they rush to the building. No. Put your faith in the Lord. Put your faith in the Lord. And many times, that is why the Lord sometimes withdraws his anointing from ministries. Why? Because if he has not taught you guys to focus on him, and all of you are only focusing on the guy, or on the building, or the anointing that you say is upon him, the Lord waited for a while and then withdraws. Why? They have not learned their lessons. In the body of Christ, it has been going on and on and on and on. Praise the Lord. That's why I read that Gospel of John chapter 14, verse 12, where he said, greater works than this shall you also do, because I go unto my Father. Our tendency is that we always try to go after personalities. It's just human tendency. It's just human tendency. And most of the time, I remember Esther just said something. Said, women, sorry, I'm just going to say this one because it is common among women too. You say, well, it's not just men, because men may have a little bit restrained, but women are very easily deceived, easily into that problem. First Samuel chapter 2, this is another verse that the Lord shone on my heart some time ago. Let's open to First Samuel chapter 2. That's the reason why I say women also have to be very careful, because they can easily be deceived. In First Samuel chapter 2, look at this story there. Some time ago when I read that story, I scratched my head. Verse 22. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 22. Put it on the screen, please. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 22. Now, this story was talking about Eli, the priest in those days. The Bible said, now Eli was very old and heard all that his sons did unto all Israel. Now, remember, Eli was the priest, and his sons were grown-up men now. They are not little boys, grown-up men that will be the next priest. But they were messing up. Because they were messing up, look at what they were doing to the people that were coming to the tabernacle where they were to be priests. Eli said, Eli heard that all his sons were, what his sons were doing to all his, and how they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. I read that many years ago. I said, wait a minute, what are the women laying there at the tabernacle at the door? Why are they laying at assembly at the door? If you have gone through what I have gone through enough, the Lord led me from Muslim religion to Catholic religion, to apostolic churches religion, to the Aladuras before I was born again. You will see that this is a pattern. So I could understand why Eli was saying that, why the Bible said they were laying there, because women are always, they ask this prayer, either they ask for children, they run to that place and think this is where God is going to hear them. The same thing, either they have faith in one man or faith in one building, and very soon these so-called false priests were abusing them. And it's happening in the Aladra churches in Nigeria, if you are not aware of it. They happen over there. So that is what the Lord was saying, because who are these people? They said they believe in God. They wanted this thing from God. They wanted this thing from God. But you see, they are rushing to man or to places or to building. Their eyes are not on the Lord. And then it's taking longer and longer and longer. They never get what they are asking for. We need to begin to pray for ourselves and ask the Lord, help us. Let our focus be upon the Lord God Almighty Himself, and not upon man or places. Then we say we are seeking the Lord. Praise the Lord. I want you to let that soak, sink deep. Because faith is what the Lord wanted us to have, faith in Him, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is what He wanted to have. And this exhortation is going to be very short like that. I want you to just think about it and pray that the Lord will, open your understanding to say, how have I been erring? Especially when we are coming to the time when the anointing is going to flow. God said this time He is not going to share His glory with men. Men want to share the glory. Especially men make them err too. People rush to the prophets, and the prophets, they begin to err. In that error, they mess up and God withdraw Himself. But the Lord wants us to be wise. Think deep before you do. Keep close to the Lord. Keep your eyes on Jesus. When you see, but I pray to Him. I prayed and prayed, He didn't answer. I prayed and prayed, He didn't answer. Then we have to shake ourselves. We need to shake ourselves. Because that's the problem. Say, I wanted to trust in God. I prayed and prayed. We prayed and prayed. Nothing else. When we had that man, got his answer in that building. That prophet got answer in that building. So that's why they all rushed to that prophet. That's why they all rushed to that building. And very soon, they make the prophet himself to err. Why? Because when the crowd began to get bigger, he felt like, I must be doing something good. Wow. I must be doing something good. That's why they are coming to me. I've had people preach it and said, well, I must be this. That's why you are listening to me. You see, I say, well, pride, ignorant. But we have to be careful. And that's why I'm just pointing that one out to us. Be careful where you are putting your faith. Is your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you seeking Him? Are you seeking Him? Or you are seeking just what He has in His hand? Praise the Lord. Now, this is another thing I'm going to share with you. Give me Exodus. The book of Exodus, chapter 24. Before I start from Exodus chapter 33. Exodus chapter 33, verse 18 to 23. Now this is a sundry revelation. Sundry, at least general revelation I'm going to just be giving here. In Exodus chapter 33, verse 18, there's something the Lord said when Moses said he wanted to see the glory of God. And we're going to compare that with what the Lord Jesus Christ told us. In Exodus chapter 33, verse 18, Moses was talking to the Lord in his prayers, and he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And verse 19 said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy to whom I will show mercy. Verse 20. And he said, thou cannot see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. Think about that. The Lord was telling Moses, He didn't say, thou will not. He didn't say, I will not let you. He said, you cannot. He said, thou cannot see my face. He said, there shall no man see me and live. So, how do you understand that verse? It's telling you and me that our physical body cannot handle it. That's really how we handle it, how we interpret it. Our physical body cannot handle it. He said, no man shall see me and live. He said, you cannot. It's not like you, I will not let you, it's different. He said, you cannot. Then he went further and said, well, I have a place, I will put you over here, and when I am past, you see my backside. You know that's the next few verses. Now, think about that. Now go to Exodus chapter 24. Exodus chapter 24, verse 9. This is something some people may say, well, you know, does it look like this thing is contradictory? Does it look like contradictory to you? Because God just told us in Exodus chapter 34 to Moses, I said, you cannot see my face. No man shall see me and live. Okay? But in Exodus chapter 24, what did Moses said as was recorded there? Verse 9 to 11. So Moses and Nadab, Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel. Verse 10. And they saw the God of Israel. Was that really true? They saw the God of Israel. And there was under his feet, as it were, a paved walk of sapphire stone, as it were, the body of heaven in its clearness. And I went to the next verse, verse 11. And upon the nobles of the children of Israel, he laid not his hands. Also, they saw God and did eat and drink. Now, stop right there and think for yourself and say, did they actually see God? But Moses wrote it. Moses wrote this book. He said, and they saw God of Israel. But in chapter 34, he said, God said, you cannot see my face, but you will see my backside. So, let me ask you, how many miles is the sun from the earth? Who can tell me? How many miles from the sun that we see in the sky to this planet earth? How many miles away? 96 million miles. 96.9 million miles away. That's the sun that we see in the sky from this planet Earth. But have you seen the sun? Yes, you have seen the sun also. You get out in the morning, you can see the sun. But can you describe how it looks? Oh, it just looks like a ball. But it's 96 million miles away from us. But we can say we have seen the sun. So what Moses was writing there, that they saw the God of Israel, how many miles away we see from him, from them? That's what God was saying. He said, no man can see me and live. I just used that analogy of the sun. You can't see the sun and live. If you move closer to him, at a distance, you can't even look at it. Also. So that's what God was talking to Moses there. No man can see me and live. Because of the light that is coming out of him. I want you to begin to use your thinking and say, wait a minute. God, our God, is a consuming fire, is what the Bible says. But say, where am I leading to in this exhortation? John chapter 1, verse 18. Gospel of John chapter 1. Let's see what the Lord Jesus Christ told us. Because you say, if I ask you, have you seen God? Have you seen God? Will anybody say he has seen God? If you have seen God, can you raise up your hand? So you have not seen God at all? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, let's go to the Bible, Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 18. Let me take you through a journey of the scriptures. Because the Lord Jesus Christ told us in Gospel of, in many Bible verses, I'm just going to go through, just start from John chapter 1 verse 18 and see what Gospel of John was saying. And then what the Lord Jesus Christ said. Verse 18 said, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. John chapter 6, verse 35. John chapter 6, verse 35. Just write that one down, then go to Gospel of John chapter 14. The Lord said, I want you to go to 14 verse 7 and 9. Gospel of John chapter 14. That verse, chapter 6, just write it down, because I'll give some more Bible verses. But let's go to chapter 14. This is the Lord Jesus Christ now talking to the disciples. Because just like you and I, we wanted to see the Father. And what did the Lord say? In verse 7 of chapter 14, if ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. Now, think about that. The Lord Jesus Christ is talking to the apostles now, not to the Jews who didn't believe. He said, if you have known me, you should have known my Father also. But see the next verse. And from henceforth, you know him. That's not all. And I've seen him. But think about that. He's saying that they have seen the Father. And that they have seen the Father. He's telling them, you have seen the Father. Well, if you are the one that he was talking to on that day, you will say, well, I have not seen him. Show it to me. And that was the next verse. Philip said unto the Lord, show us the Father. And it suffices us. So they are not trying to be faith something. They say, well, show us this Father that you are talking about. That's what I would also like to ask. And what did the Lord answer him? Verse 9. Jesus said unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Now meditate on these Bible verses, because I just told you that God said, no man shall see my face and live. And I told you that, like the sun, million miles away, you say you have seen the sun, but see, you are only seeing something round in the sky. Because even the scientists cannot describe the shape, the contours, the mountains, and the ridges on that big stone called the sun. And see, it must be so huge that we can see it millions of miles away. We are still seeing it like a big ball. So huge. And God said, no man can see my face and still live. But the Lord Jesus now say, I've been so long time with you and you have not known me yet. If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. This is his words. And he's telling the disciples that from henceforth you have seen him and you have known him. Who? The Father. I know this is blowing your mind. Praise the Lord. I know it's blowing your mind. Because if you meditate on it, you will see what the Lord is talking about it. John chapter 3. Gospel of John chapter 3. Verse 13. Many of us quote this Bible verse. And this is what the Lord was talking about here. He said, chapter 3, verse 13. And no man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ said, no man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Meditate on those Bible verses, and I'm going to wrap it up with a book of Ezekiel chapter 1. Who is this Son of Man which is in heaven that he was referring to? You see it in the book of Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 26. Keep that in your mind. He said, the Son of Man which is in heaven came down. In the book of Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 26, Ezekiel saw a manifestation. He saw cherubims flying up and down. And then when they stood and landed their wings, they folded their wings, he saw on top of them was a throne, a likeness of a throne on the top of these cherubims. You may say he was seeing a vision. Yes. And then he said, somebody was sitting on the throne. And he described this somebody sitting on the throne in verse 26. The book of Ezekiel, chapter 1. And above the firmament that was over their heads, that's the heads of these cherubims, was the likeness of a throne, as the appearance of a sapphire stone. And upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness as the appearance of a man above upon it. Think about that. You know what cherubims are? They are angels and they are carrying something. And he saw on the top of them was a throne. And who was on the throne? Looked like a man. The Son of Man who is in heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ just said, the Son of Man which is in heaven came down. So he said this appearance of a man. Now he described this man in verse 27. And I saw as the color of amber, as the appearance of fire, round about within it, from the appearance of his loins, even upward. And from the appearance of his loins, even downward, I saw as it were the appearance of fire, and it had brightness round about. So he said, he saw the man, he looked like he said, it's a man. I mean, how do you know it's a man? Well, if you see a man, you can see his construction, not so. It's a man. But he looked, it was fire. It was just fire tracing a human being. And he said, you cannot see me and live because it's a consuming fire. That's our God. Amen? I don't know whether you are going on this journey with me yet, but I want you to begin to think of the God that we serve. But now, let's go back to the book of Exodus. I'll go back to that book of Exodus where he declared his name before Moses. That Exodus that we just read, God declared his name before Moses. Now, how did he declare his name? Give me Exodus again, chapter 34. Exodus chapter 34. Or chapter 33. So when God declared his name, chapter 34, verse 5 and 6, what I'm going to read. In verse 6, chapter 34, verse 6, this is how the God Almighty declared before Moses who he is. We just told you that he was consuming fire. I just told you that nobody can see him and live. But who is this God Almighty? And this is how he describes it. And the Lord passed by before Moses, that's him, and proclaimed the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that we by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children's children, unto the third and the fourth generation. So what has he just declared there? He said, you cannot see my face and live, but I will declare my name before you. And he declared his name merciful and gracious, long-suffering. 1 John chapter 4, verse 16 is what he just declared there. 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. That's the epistle, first epistle of John, chapter 4. Verse 16 says, and we have known and believed the love that God has to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. So what is love? Love is what he just declared: merciful and gracious, long-suffering, abundance in goodness and in truth, keeping mercy for thousands. And you see how Apostle Paul described love in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, showing us that love that never fails, where we say God himself is love. Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 described it. And when you compare that to what I just said in Exodus chapter 34, that was what God declared: God is love. But you see, what about all this fire that can consume? What about him? What about all those fire that can destroy? The fire on the Mount Zion that was destroying things. Anytime he wants it to, you know what the Lord told me about that? How many of you know rose flower? You have seen roses, not so. What surrounds rose flower? Thorns. That's what surrounds rose flower. Thorns. So if you rush at rose flower, you are going to be pricked. But rose itself is what? Smells good. Everybody wants to touch the rose. But you don't rush at it. You've got to come gently. That is, God is love, but surrounding him is fire. Amen? So it's a consuming fire, and yet our God is love, gentleness, kindness, meekness, long suffering, abundance in goodness and in truth. And he said we have to be sons of love. He wants us to be sons of God. We must be sons of love. Very important. And that is where I'm going to wrap it up. This love that he commands us to have, that he says we must have, that will rapture us. You go to be raptured, you want to go in rapture, we must come back to that love. Because that is who God really is. The Lord Jesus Christ said, they have not known the Father, nor me. He said, the days come that they that killeth you will think they are doing God's service. You are seeing that right now. You see the extreme jihadists, they think they are Allah saving you, they should kill anyone that's infidel. Because they saw it in their books. The Judaism could say the same thing. They could say, well, Moses said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Cut their head off. Not so. But when the Lord Jesus came, what did he say? Love your enemy. Love your enemy. Do good to those that hate you. See, that is the real Father. That is the real Father. The God that is love. The God that said we are to forgive. The God that said you are to turn the other cheek. The God that said that is the only thing that's going to rapture us. That love is going to rapture us. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, let me read it through. And I'm then going to wrap up in that prayer so that we're going to search our hearts and say, Lord, help me to be like you, the God that is love. Help me to be like you. And all the opponents of love are very cunning. The Bible said Satan, that serpent, was very cunning. You may not know when you have stepped out of love. It could be jealousy. Jealousy is very tricky. I don't really, I'm not jealous of that guy, but you know, the way he dressed, the way she dressed, the way she talked. You may think she's just proud, but it may be you that is really jealous. Praise the Lord. See, that's why you have to discern yourself. Wait a minute. Could it be jealousy rather than what she did? What he did? Be careful. And that is one of the reasons why we need to read this 1 Corinthians chapter 13 over and over and over and over and apply it to yourself. Apply it to yourself. I'm going to read from what we call the Amplified Version. If you have the King James Version, it's okay. But there are some other things that you see in the Amplified Version. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, that's the King James version so far, but I will get the Amplified version in a moment from my. From my cell phone, he said, if I can speak in the tongues of men and even angels, but have not love, and he described what this love is, that reasoning, intentional, spiritual devotion, such as is inspired by God's love for and in us, say, I'm only a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers, the gift of interpreting the divine will and purpose, and understand all the secret things and mysteries, and possess all knowledge, and if I have sufficient faith so that I can remove mountains, but have not love, God's love in me, he said, I am nothing. I'm just a useless nobody. So even if I dole out all that I have to the poor in providing food, and if I surrender my body to be burned, or in order that I may glory, but have not love, see, that God's love in me, so I gain nothing. Now, verse 4 started describing what God declared that we just read in Exodus. Love endures long and is patient and kind. Love never is envious nor boils over with jealousy. So he said, boils over. That's how it was described. Boils over. Jealousy does not have to boil over. If you search me, you see that it's actually not boiling over. When it boils over, it becomes raging. That's when you begin to say something harsh. That's why it's boiling over. But it could already been there because it's a spirit. Jealousy is a spirit. And you say, love is not boastful or vainglorious, does not display itself haughtily. It is not conceited, not arrogant, and inflated with pride. It is not rude or mannerly, and does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights or its own way. For it is not self-seeking. It is not touchy or fretful or resentful. It takes no account of the evil done to it. It pays no attention to a suffered wrong. Love does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevails. Verse 7 says, love bears up under anything and everything that comes, and is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Well, many of us fail in that. Believing the best in people. Because we think, oh yeah, well, I know that's what they are doing in their church. I expect that. We are not believing the best in them. Believing the best of every person is what love does. Its hopes are faithless under all circumstances, and it endures everything without weakening. Love never fails, never fades out, nor become obsolete or comes to an end. It says, as for prophecy, that is the gift of interpreting the divine will and purpose, it will fulfill and pass away. As for tongues, they will be destroyed and cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away, it will lose its value and be superseded by truth. For our knowledge is fragmentary, incomplete, and imperfect. And our prophecy and our teaching is fragmentary, incomplete, and imperfect. But when the complete and perfect and total comes, the incomplete and imperfect will vanish away. That will become antiquated or void or superseded. Love never fails. Because God himself is love. And we are admonished. Search ourselves. Search yourselves and say, Lord, help me in this area of love, because that is what will rapture us. If we're going to go in the rapture, if the Lord comes, that will be what will rapture the bride. If you still have some animosity, Undeclared, of course, nobody knows it, but it's deep in your heart. See, God sees, searches the heart. God sees what you cannot say. You may be smiling at everybody, oh, praise the Lord, my brother. But God is seeing your heart. God is looking at your heart. He searches the hearts and the reins of men and women. And that is the truth about the word of God. Because it is that is going to judge us. And Apostle Paul put it this way, he said that everything is open and plain before the eyes of whom we have to deal with. No, you are not dealing with me, or with this pastor, or with that brother, or with that sister, or that's your family member. No, you are dealing with him that sees your motive. He sees your reason why you do, why you say what you said. That you may think, well, no, that man make me angry. That's why I said it. But God sees deeper than that. God see, let me give a quick testimony of somebody that I heard on television. A minister. She actually gave this testimony on TBN many years ago. She said she was so evangelistic. She was evangelistic. And from the church, she would go about witnessing and miracles. I mean, the one-on-one ministry she was doing. Pray for people get well. And she would come back to the pastor of the church and she thought she was firing up the pastor. She would give the testimony to the pastor personally of the things God has done for somebody when she prayed for that person in the man's or the woman's house and all the exploits that she was doing for the Lord. And she would come back and give that testimony to the pastor, and the pastor would say, praise God, praise God, praise God. Then she herself said the Lord spoke to her. Nobody talked to her. He said the Lord spoke to her one time in a vision or something and said, when you do all those things and you go to the pastor, God saw pride. You know, she said, Lord, no. She was like, Lord, no. Just trying to fire up the pastor. But God sees beyond what you are saying. God is seeing deeper into your soul. So pride. You know, when I listen to that, I say, oh my goodness, how many of us have heard by what we thought the Lord was doing through us, how we went and, but see, we are excited, of course, we are excited, but God was seeing deeper than that excitement, seeing the root of what you are trying to say. The pride. And God resisted who? The proud. But God's Bible said, love that is not puffed up. Not puffed up. So God can see deeper the puffing up. When you puff over your own husband, because you always look at, God can see that. The one you should submit to, no, you are not submitting because you have more spiritual power than him. I talked to a woman, I remember one time, because that make me laugh. This one was a Jewish woman. She actually somehow called the phone and I picked up the phone and it was not me she wanted to talk to, but while we were searching, I was talking to her about Christ. Oh yeah, she was this and she was that. And she said something that made me laugh inside. She said a senior brother or junior brother was a rabbi in their synagogue. Maybe senior or junior, but a rabbi. Then she said, you know something? She said she was more spiritual than the rabbi. I just laughed inside. Well, you can tell right there, she was more spiritual than the rabbi. It was a bigger sister or bigger brother or junior brother. So I just laugh inside, but I said, that was how many people are. Could be more spiritual than your husband. Or even more spiritual than your pastor. That was what that woman just said. I just laugh inside. And that was what the Lord saw in that woman that gave that testimony on TBN. And I saw it, I heard it on TBN. I said, my goodness. She was confessing it to everybody on TV. I said, how many of us have done similar things?
that we have run around and testified, but deep inside us, we actually exalted inside ourselves that way. See, this is what I'm doing, but I'm thinking I'm trying to make you do the same thing, but she is actually, God is saying pride rather than exaltation. So we want to say, God, you are God of love that says love is not puffed up, love is not jealous, love is not easily provoked, love does not remember wrong done to him. Search my heart, oh God of love. Search my heart. Let's stand up to our feet. Stand up to your feet. Let's stand up to our feet and say, Lord, search my heart because I want to be right. This is heaven we are talking about now. Forget about what you can get, whether there's supernatural happening in your life or happening in the church or happening anywhere. Revival, we are saying we want revival. Whether revival comes or doesn't come in our generation, are you secure this heaven? Or is God seeing something he couldn't live with? Because God is love. Begin to pray for yourself. This is heaven we are talking about. It's our destination. Forget about whether supernatural happening in my church, is happening in my midst or in my ministry, or is happening this or all of those things that we quarrel about on this planet Earth. We matter nothing if we don't get there. They will matter nothing if we don't get there. I mean, let's talk to yourself, talk to the Lord. Say, Lord, search my heart, Lord. Search my heart, Lord. Search my heart, Lord. I want this love thing to be perfected in me. I want this love thing to be perfected in me so that I'm not speaking out of anger. I'm not speaking out of jealousy. I'm not acting out of hatred, out of suspicion. All of those things that God said, they are anti to love. Because God is going to judge in the body of Christ when they come before him. People have gone into visions, they have seen themselves in the presence of God, and God reveals some of the things they have been doing among the churches when they were not, and they were being demoted because of how they treat their fellow brothers, sisters, how they treat their fellow ministries, the jealousy, the confrontation, the opposition, the breaking of the fellowship, the splitting of churches. Come to our church, not that church. No, come to this church here. This is better. And God is saying, I say you should have love for one another. I say you should love one another. Pray for yourself. Pray for yourself. So that come by the shade that they come by the hold up a corner, the shade that you come by the hope of the shade that come by the hold up. So that come by the shade that the hope of the come by the shade. Talk to the Lord. If you don't know what to pray for, speak in tongues. Maybe Holy Ghost can help you in praying. Father, I plead the blood of Jesus upon us. Father, I plead the blood of Jesus. Father, I plead the blood of Jesus. God that is love. God that is a consuming fire. And yet, Lord, to come to you, we must come in that love, humility, that gentleness, to be able to reach you, like you say. You can't rush. At the rose tree, you get burnt. But if you come humbly, you can touch the rose. If you come with humility, with gentleness of Christ, you will touch the rose. Father, you are a consuming fire. The Lord, you are the same God of love that says, there is no love that's going to rapture us, Lord. We want to come as, we want to open ourselves before the Lord. You forgive us of all this bickering, striving, accusation, jealousy, dividing of congregation, dividing of splitting of houses, splitting of churches, and all the pride and arrogance, wanting to show off all those things that is going on in our heart that you are seeing, Lord. We want to bring it before you that you help us, Lord. That you uproot it from our system, from our spirit, from our soul, so that we can show that love one to another. For the brotherhood of Christ, to love the brotherhood, Lord, is what we are asking for, Lord. Help us to be able to love the brotherhood of sins. Thank you, Father. Hallowed be the name of the Lord. Say, oh, the cover, the shade that you have covered, the whole of the shade that you cover. See, think not to say in your heart, think not to say in your heart that you are better, you have passed this stage. Because if you have passed this stage, you will have seen the Lord in a different way, manifesting through you. But because you have not passed this stage, you need to be asking the Lord for forgiveness, for help. Don't think in your heart that you have already passed this stage, said the Lord.
Father, we pray, O Lord Jesus Christ, that you help us in the body of Christ, Lord. Because many times we hear exhortation, we pass it to the other person. See, well, I know that man needs that. I know that woman needs that. But you need that. It's what the Lord is telling us. You need that. I need that. Don't pass it off to the next person. That people over there, they need to hear this type of thing. No. You need to hear this type of thing. Because we are all full of bruises in the household of God. It's a warfare, and everybody has been bruised by the arrows of the enemy. Because those are arrows of Satan, arrows of jealousy, arrows of strife, arrows of backbiting, arrows of accusation, arrows that want to be seen, pride of life. And that's all the enemy is firing at the body of Christ. Arrows of, I must have my way. I can't be subordinate to this man. I can't be subordinate to anybody. Arrows of self-seeking. They have not recognized me yet that I'm a pastor. I'm a minister. I should be a pastor. I'm an apostle. I'm an apostle. Arrows of pride. And it's all over. It's firing into everybody. And it's landing. It's wounding soldiers. So many of us are wounded soldiers. But you see, God does not throw away wounded soldiers. They have to be healed. You send the soldiers to Afghanistan. Many of them are wounded. They don't just say, well, if you are wounded, you are out of there. They kill them. No, they don't kill them. You have to be healed. So we need to be healed. If you want to be healed, come and let's just kneel down before the Lord. If you want to be healed, you just come to the altar and just come kneel down before the Lord. I'm going to just kneel down. You need to be healed. Come and be talking to the Lord on your knees. Lord, help me. Arrows of the enemy that have stuck upon any part of my soul, Lord, uproot it, Lord. Fall upon your knees wherever you are. If you need to be healed, talk to the Lord yourself. For God Himself is love that is going to bring us to that fullness of Himself. Father, we pray for your help, Lord. Pray for your mercy, O God. Pray for your compassion, O God. Pray for your hand, O God, to touch our soul, to uproot all these evil things from our soul, Lord, and set us free, Lord Jesus Christ. Thou shalt know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Set us free from all this bickering, from all this anger, from all this selfishness, from all this jealousy, from all this striving, from all this backbiting, from all this dividing of churches. God sees our heart, and He sees all that is going on, and He's rebuking us right now. Father, help us, Lord God, to come out of all this trouble and to surrender our heart to Thee so that You can heal us. Say, pray ye one for another that ye may be healed. Confess your faults one to another. Pray ye one for another that ye may be healed. Blessed be the glory of the Lord our God forever. Blessed be the glory of the Lord our God forever. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can the prayer, the praise team come back to this and just give us some songs? Please come back to the altar.
They are back there.
They are still doing their practice. Okay. Prepare your offering. Prepare your offering. By 2 o'clock, can you get your... your drum so that we can sing some song.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, okay. Prepare your offering. As you bring your offering, we're going to just sing this song.